We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Johnny Marks and Ike Reese. Sports Radio 94. WIP.
I told him, get used to this. This is the new norm in Philadelphia. Playing and hopefully playing into February every year.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome, welcome, welcome to a Marks and Reese program on a beautiful, warm day in the city of Philadelphia. Johnny Marks, Ike Reese, what is up, Ike?
Holla at your boy, Johnny Marks. Happy Wednesday, brother.
You're damn right.
Oh, it is a lovely day out there today, too. My goodness.
There's all this office talk and Twitter talk this morning about, man, I want it to be cold already. Enough of this 80-degree weather.
Huh?
Damn, you people crazy? You would be in the 40s already? No.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
You heard Doug Peterson at the top, Ike. The new norm. Remember the new norm? Oh, this is the new norm. Oh, it's a new norm. Be prepared for it. Get used to it. It's going to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where is this new norm that we're talking about? Huh? A lot of us, me included, Ike, thought the Eagles were a team that coming this season, Carson Wentz, Howie, Doug, the rest is history. We're going to be right there in the Final Four every year. And what you're finding out in the NFL, it doesn't necessarily work like that, right?
Right.
Is the new norm have a chance to be this era's gold standard? Does that comment have the chance to be the gold standard comment of your generation?
Where it comes back and haunts you, and we're constantly reminded that we're not?
Yes.
I think the gold standard hurt a little bit more because, I mean, there was, what, another decade at least of really not even getting close to winning a championship until this past year. I think the new norm carries a little more weight. I think there's at least right now, there's still more of a positive outlook attached to the phrase, the new norm. Like, I don't think people hear the new norm and they're like, ugh.
What does the new norm mean? Because the gold standard specifically, when Jeffrey Lurie said it, was absolutely in reference to the Patriots, right? Like, they're the gold standard. They were thinking, we're the Patriots of the NFC. We're the gold standard. I still can't believe they said it. We're the gold standard, right?
I honestly think they were talking about the Steelers, but...
Really?
I think so. Because I think it came right after the Steelers won the Super Bowl.
I'm going to have to Google it and see.
I could be wrong, though.
Regardless,
he's probably jealous of the Patriots. I don't know if he really has
He tried to buy the team. Bob Kraft got it, yeah. And then the Patriots are winning. That, you know, what's interesting is that it is after winning a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So when Doug says that on February 7th, it's after the Super Bowl. Is that the day of the parade? Was that
might
the 7th?
Yeah, the 7th. Yeah,
he's feeling as confident on that day as any day of the calendar, of any time in his life, his professional life, probably, right?
Oh, yeah, he caught a few beers, like you and I did.
A couple Bud Lights?
Yeah, he caught a couple.
A couple went off my head.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I actually caught one. Mm. But, I mean, think about that, right? Because here's what the new norm means to me. The new norm means we're the Patriots. We're going to be back. He said it in that cut. We're going to be back in February. Play it again. Play that part again for me at the end. This is what it means to me, what Doug said right here.
I told him, get used to this. This is the new norm in Philadelphia, playing and hopefully playing into February every year. My mindset is to be back again, to do it again, and to keep doing it, and to keep doing it.
Yep. Yeah, and that should be your mindset. Mm-hmm. But easier said than done. And I think that this is an exercise this year of easier said than done when you talk about the new norm that we're talking about.
Well, listen, I don't think – I hope when people hear that, they don't assume it's going to be a cakewalk to the Super Bowl year in and year out. You're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to put the work in. Teams are going to have to come after you every year. I mean, the Patriots know this. No one knows this better than the New England Patriots. They get everyone's best shot. Those who don't cower before they get off the bus at the stadium to face the New England Patriots, you know, typically they're going to get everyone's best shot because they are the standard. They have been for the last two decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I still believe the Eagles have the chance to do that. I still believe it, man. I really do. And I'm not just saying it It makes it a little harder the way they played the last couple weeks. Well, it makes it harder the last, this month, this season, the 5 weeks they played, to really feel that way. But I still believe that they can get on a run. You know what I mean? They just need to put one together, get tomorrow's game first, come back after 10 days. You got a big game against the Carolina Panthers. They'll likely be 5-1 when you get ready to face them in 10 days.
Tough game.
So getting a win like that against that caliber of opponent in your house, that's something that can start to build confidence and become a snowball effect.
Yep.
But you got to get the first one. You got to get tomorrow's win first and foremost. If this was a team that was devoid of talent, and I'm looking at Sam Bradford as my quarterback, then I'm like, I ain't really buying it. It's only a matter of time before this thing bottoms out, and you have to start all the way over again. Now, that's going to come maybe not as drastic as some other teams have had to do it, but you're going to have to start over soon. But for this year, I think they still have enough there. They still have enough there. It's going to take a lot of guys playing a whole lot better, and in my opinion, I still believe they need to go out and get a Shady McCoy or a Le'Veon Bell. I still believe that.
I totally agree with you.
And here's the thing. I'll continue to believe that until I'm proven wrong.
Or until they don't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, listen, if Corey Clement, who's going to get the start tomorrow, if he goes on a 3-4 game run here where he's giving you 100 yards from scrimmage, rushing and receiving, and he's a reliable back along with Wendell Smallwood, and you get Darren Sproles back healthy and he's able to give you something, okay, then you will have shown me. So now you will have changed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But to this point, I'm not there. I'm not there.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So, if the running backs...
You have two games before the trade deadline, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Because you have two and then the bye.
Yep.
Or you have three and then the bye. But the trade deadline comes after that.
When is the trade deadline?
Trade deadline is the 30th, I guess, of October.
So that would be right before the Jags game.
Yes. Yeah, so you're having two games. So this week may decide one way or another what they do with a running back. And we have Mike Florio coming up at 3:30. He's got all the information regarding potential trades with Shady and Le'Veon Bell, and he has his take on things as well. But here, just because I just saw a tweet where someone's already hammering me, being like, "You're so negative," but just let me be clear about what I'm saying when we talk about the new norm. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the Eagles are going to stink. I'm not saying the Eagles won't win 10 games this year. I'm not saying that the Eagles are not going to be a good team over the course of the next 5 years. Right? Here's what I'm talking about. The new norm wasn't supposed to be like the Saints. The new norm being described to me wasn't supposed to be like the Packers that haven't been in a Super Bowl since 2010, mm-hmm. the 2010 season. The Saints won in 2009. Mm-hmm. The Saints, the Packers won in 2010, mm-hmm. right? They haven't been back to a Super Bowl since, right? So you can have Hall of Fame top 10 all-time quarterbacks. It doesn't mean that you're just automatically back in the Super Bowl, which I think a lot of people, because of Carson and because of the way Doug coached, that we all automatically assumed, yeah, we're going to be there. That's the new norm.
Mm-hmm.
A lot harder than that, we're figuring out.
Sure it is. Sure it is. It definitely is. And listen, when this thing is all said and done, you'll have a greater appreciation for what Tom Brady and Bill Belichick has been able to do, regardless if you believe they cheated or not. You'll still have a greater appreciation for it. To me, they are the closest thing to what the 49ers were. Forget about the Cowboys in the mid-90s. That was short-lived. Even it was 3 out of 4, and it was about a 6-year run of dominance in the NFC.
And it's such a different league now. You can't even compare.
Well, and they didn't dominate the way the 49ers did of the 80s.
No.
They didn't dominate. The Cowboys didn't dominate that way, and they didn't dominate the way the Patriots have.
No.
Where it expands over two decades. I think the 49ers went to the playoffs for 18 straight years.
Something like that, yep.
So, the Cowboys run wasn't that type
for sure.
of a run.
Yeah,
it was
sure.
a short-lived run. But you'll have a greater appreciation for those two franchises and what they were able to do. But the Eagles, listen, you're a long way away from achieving that.
Mm-hmm.
You're a long way away from achieving that. But I still believe they have the ingredients to do it. They got the GM, they got the head coach, and they have the quarterback. They have the ingredients to do it. Now they got to get it done.
Does the GM think the new norm involves Le'Veon Bell? I think it does. The new norm for me would
maybe
be
for
like
this, for this year, maybe.
The new norm for me is, hell no, we're going to get Le'Veon Bell because clearly there's a need on this team. Mm-hmm. If you don't acquire, if they win this week, but the running backs don't do great, they're adequate, and then next week, I don't know what they do. Maybe they lose. They're 3-4. If Howie doesn't make a move and the running backs don't look any better, he's more or less saying season doesn't look great.
Right.
We can turn it around still, but we're just going to roll the dice and see what happens.
Yeah, we'll win a weak division.
Right, exactly. That's what you're looking for. Le'Veon Bell tells me, no, we can get this together and we can still win. I don't care what the record is right now. That's the new norm to me. I'm not sure the Eagles know what the new norm is. 888-729-9494. But is it an overreaction by me to come in here? And I know a lot of you already say yes.
Yeah, that, sure it is.
That to already say that the Eagles, you can't, like, the new norm is, the new norm is we're talking to you next February. Not only do we expect we're going to be favored and we're going to be there next February, right? Yeah. Or Saints, haven't been back, has won 3 wild card games since they won the Super Bowl. Packers, haven't been back to a Super Bowl, won 5 playoff games, no Super Bowl. 2 MVPs, no Super Bowl appearances. And that's Aaron Rodgers, Mike.
Yeah.
So we look at Carson Wentz and things like, yeah, we're great. We'll be back. Don't work like that necessarily.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But I still believe, like I said, I'm looking at this year. I haven't changed my expectations yet. Tomorrow's a big game. Tomorrow is a big game, man. You lose tomorrow, then I will readjust my expectations and how I expect the Eagles to get to meet those expectations. You know, they got to go out and win tomorrow. They got to go out and win tomorrow. You get to 3-3, put a couple more wins together.
And you know what, Ike? I don't care if it's ugly.
You get a chance to play the Saints and the Rams. That's the great thing. You get a chance to play those teams before you even get in the playoffs. So we're going to find out on the field, are you good enough to beat either one of those teams?
And you get a little bit of time before you play. A lot of time with the Rams, but you can get it together before you face
exactly.
those teams.
Exactly. The Rams can be playing their best football right now and sort of be on a decline when you face them.
Anybody else worry that this team could be good? A fluke, not a disaster, but...
Then the Rams lose their first playoff game?
They did last year.
They'll be carrying that weight with them once the postseason starts.
888-729-9494. You're right.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It'll be made a big deal of.
Listen, we get in. We willy-nilly up in there. Oh, they done let the champs in the playoffs? Nobody want to see us.
Well, you're right.
Carson in the playoffs.
You're right.
Oh, nobody wants to see us.
All right, we're back. Marks and Reese on a Wednesday, and every Wednesday at 3:35, we go to our expert in rumor, innuendo, and news. He's Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, PFT Live, PFT PM Podcast, and everything else that he does. What's up, Florio?
What's going on, guys?
So we've spoken the last few weeks about the same thing. So the Eagles now clear cap space. Now they have just enough to pay Le'Veon, coincidentally. But Shefty says, oh, the Eagles aren't interested, though. Mike, the dots are there, obviously, to connect. It's just if you want to connect them and how many dots you can connect. Are they connecting for you?
Yeah. And here's what fascinated me the most about the Fletcher Cox restructuring. It's the fact that the new contract created so much cap room next year because I could see the Eagles, in order to entice Le'Veon Bell to want to join the team and go all in, you could structure his contract for this year, and you can give him whatever you want this year. You just can't sign him to a long-term deal. You could structure incentives in there that would make him want to play hard, make him want the ball, make him want to play in the playoffs. You know, he makes $855,000 a week under his franchise tender for the regular season. When the playoffs come around, it's peanuts. It's playoff share. It's $25,000 for the wild card round, $35,000-$40,000 for the division round. Why do you subject yourself to all that potential risk as you're getting so close to the prize that you want in free agency? Well, you could use what they call the not likely to be earned incentives that would trigger this year, that would get paid this year, but the cap charge would be next year. That's why when I saw that big cap number that was created for next year, I'm thinking, aha, there's a way to try to maybe get him to want to be there and go all in, go all out. And so I think it just makes sense. And also, it makes sense to put out the word that you're not interested, right? You got to be coy in order to do the best possible deal. You got to put out the word that you're interested in LeSean McCoy. You create a little distraction, a little diversion, so that the Steelers maybe don't try to hijack you when the time comes to try to work it out. So I just think it makes too much sense for them to not try it. And they made it clear today, Doug Peterson did, they're going to consider all options, and they're going to look into potential trades. And I think Le'Veon Bell's at the top of the list.
I like the way you're thinking, Mike. I think, and it makes so much sense when you talk about the McCoy angle of it, right? Because just having the name Shady associated with coming back to Philadelphia, everybody knows that's going to draw a lot of attention. It's a viable option. But in reality, it really isn't a viable option bringing him back here, considering the stuff that's surrounding him and whether or not the fans would be in favor of it. But when you look at it from a standpoint of wanting to keep the market for Le'Veon down, yet you have to let the Steelers know that there are other options available to you, and you don't want anybody else jumping in there to raise or increase, I guess, what you would have to spend on Le'Veon if there's anybody else out there that wants him. You think there's anybody else out there that would want him besides the Eagles?
Well, look, it's a partial year rental. You have to be willing to say, we want this guy, and we understand there's no guarantee we're going to keep him beyond 2018. And there are teams like the Rams, and I don't want to jinx Todd Gurley. I think we went down this rabbit hole before. Mm-hmm. If the Rams would lose Todd Gurley, they'd instantly become interested in Le'Veon Bell. But I don't know what other team out there would look at this guy as somebody who gives them what they need now, who would help them now. And it's an all-in move for this year that I think would make the Eagles better. One thing Doug Peterson was saying today, it looks like they're using the RPOs less frequently. They're not. They're just passing less out of it. The defenses are defending the pass and letting them run. One of the reasons they're running is because the running backs aren't doing a lot of damage. So if you're going to choose one or the other, defend the pass, okay, we'll deal with the run if they do hand it off. And if Le'Veon Bell is the guy who's getting that potential handoff, then maybe they start swarming to the ball again and it opens up the pass. So I just think you look at the injuries, you look at where the Eagles are right now, I think they could use that kick in the butt. It was a surprise last year when they went after Jay Ajayi. It would be less of a surprise this year, but it would be the same mentality, going all in to try to do what you have to do to win a championship.
Hey, Mike, from the Steelers' perspective, I know Big Ben came out and said, hey, James Conner, he shouldn't be on the shelf if Le'Veon comes back. And I don't know how bad it is in that locker room. I think I have a pretty good idea. Could he actually go back and be on the roster and play this year? Or is the tube already out of the toothpaste and the Steelers more or less almost have to do it, but they can't, same thing with the Eagles. They can't let everybody know that they have to
do it. Well, I think Le'Veon Bell could play there. And I think Le'Veon Bell likes the idea that James Conner wouldn't be put in mothballs, because that means that Bell won't get 35 touches a game. You split him up and Bell gets used less. That's one of his big concerns. But I know. Like, I don't know what the Eagles really want to do, and I think that's part of their plan to keep everybody in the dark. I know that the Steelers are exploring every possible scenario with Le'Veon Bell in an effort to get value for him. And one scenario is trade him now. What can you get for him if you trade him now? What do you get if he leaves next year as a free agent by way of a compensatory draft pick in 2020? And there is one other scenario, I think it's unlikely, where they could use the transition tag on him next year. And someone could sign him to an offer sheet, they could match it, and then they could trade him to that team or another team once they match it. But that's much more difficult to pull off. But they're considering what can they get under every scenario. And the easiest one, if you're ready to move on from this guy, the easiest one is to just trade him. But you got to get him on board with the trade. And my guess is there aren't a lot of teams he'd want to be traded to. You look at the defending champions, you look at the opening, you look at the need. If they can make him happy financially, I can't see why he wouldn't want to play for the Eagles.
And Mike, let me ask you this. How did Howie, with the snap of his fingers, clear $18.2 million off a cap with a simple restructure? Is there a flaw in this system?
No, it's very easy to do, and that's why cap space isn't as big of a deal as it used to be. You know, once upon a time, it was so much harder to carry over cap space. It was so much harder to get these deals done. But all they did is they took a big chunk of Fletcher Cox's salary this year and turned it into a signing bonus, and that allows the cap dollars to be prorated over multiple years. And then next year's salary, they took a big chunk of that and made it an option bonus payable now. I think that money was already guaranteed. He was going to make it anyway, so it's not like there was any guesswork there. But you give him a lot of the money now, and it took that money and spread it out over future years too. But those dollars are all going to hit the cap at some point. That's the way the game goes. You're just pushing it back to a future year. But with the cap going up and up and up and up, if you can push it forward, the thinking is it'll be diluted as we get into future years. But it's easy to do. The player has to want to do it. But typically what happens to the player is he gets his money. He's just getting it now instead of getting it in the future.
Huh. Mike, I know that Ike and I were debating this, that I guess the day after the game. But is Doug rewriting the two-point conversion chart that's laminated? Because last week they're down 14. They get a touchdown. He goes for two to try to make it a six-point game. Do you understand what he's trying to do, and do you agree with that line of thinking?
Well, first of all, the only thing that's laminated is the piece of paper they give you when you become the all-time passing yardage leader. I don't know if you guys saw that Monday night, but you get a sheet of paper that is laminated, and they handle the football with white gloves. You know, this football that's out there being used by big, dirty, sweaty dudes, all of a sudden it becomes this pristine thing they have to handle with white gloves. But I'm surprised it took us 23 years to get to the point where we're having the conversation about the wisdom, the analytical wisdom of being down 14, scoring a touchdown, going for two. If you don't get it, you're still down a score. You can score a touchdown and a two-point conversion and force a tie. If you do get it, all of a sudden then you're off that number of seven, meaning that if you get another touchdown, you're not going to overtime and hoping you can win the game in overtime. And I think there's another reason to avoid overtime. You don't want the extra reps. You know, the Browns have played an extra half of a game in 5 weeks in overtime. You don't want that extra exposure for your players if you can avoid it. So I get it. The challenge is this: making that approach feel conventional to a fan base and to the media, because you do the conventional thing and fail, nobody says boo. You do the unconventional thing and fail, and people start jumping on you. And it didn't blow up on Doug Peterson, and he's got the equity where he can get away with it. But I think for other coaches, I think they're very sensitive to the, yeah, you know, that's risky, that's gutsy, but if it doesn't work, I'm in trouble. And Dirk Cutter has said something like that recently, the Buccaneers coach. Yeah, it makes sense to go for it on fourth down, but if it doesn't work, I get fired. I think coaches need to move past that mindset, and the way to do that is to have fans and media better understand how the numbers work.
And your superiors, I would imagine, Mike, because I would imagine Howie and Jeffrey are sitting in that suite saying, what the hell is Doug doing right now?
That's right. You got to sell it. You got to have that conversation ahead of time that, hey, you know what, the next time we're down 14, I don't want you to be shocked when we go for two, because this is what we're going to do. You know, the flip side of that, and we've seen this play out from time to time, when a team is up scores a touchdown and the 6 points puts them up by seven, so you're ahead by one, you score a touchdown, you go up by seven. You know, the thinking is, all right, you kick it and then you're up by eight and they got to score a touchdown, a two-pointer. Well, okay, how about this? You go ahead and go for two, you go up by nine, then you're up two scores. And we've seen teams try that. I think the Seahawks did that when they played the Patriots on a Sunday night a couple of years ago. But, you know, there's... That laminated card, maybe it shouldn't be laminated, because there's ways to think about this that make a lot more sense than just the standard formula of what it takes to keep, you know, at an even keel with the other team.
Pretty interesting. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Mike, Drew Brees, you just mentioned him, all right? So we were discussing yesterday, so where does he fit in the conversation? And I'm assuming that based on what I've heard and what I've seen from you, he's a top 10 guy right now.
Absolutely.
All right, so both of you answer this for me. Is he ahead of Marino?
Yes.
Ike? That's a yes.
Yeah.
Marino's his favorite guy of all time, so it's hard for him to say that.
He is.
Favre?
Yes, I mean, definitely ahead of
Favre. Yeah, well, yes. I mean, yes, and we'll get even better because he's going to keep playing. He's going to push those numbers out even farther. It's one championship each, and the statistical achievement over an extended period of time is more significant.
And he doesn't turn the ball over nearly as much
as
Favre.
No, I mean, Favre's going to the grave and beyond with the all-time interception record, right?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Aaron Rodgers, that's the toughest one for me, but I think you have to go Brees.
Well, here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers, by the time it's all said and done, maybe. I know my guy Chris Sims is a huge Aaron Rodgers proponent. And he pointed out today, quickest of 40,000 yards and 300 touchdowns. But, you know, he's at 40,000 yards right now. He's 34, 35. He's 32,000 passing yards behind Drew Brees. I mean, you know, you can be great, really great for a short period of time. But I think when you're talking greatest ever, it's an amalgamation of championships plus sustained high performance. I mean, the stuff Brees has done, he's got five 5,000-yard passing seasons. The rest of the National Football League, every quarterback that ever played the game for 99 years combined has four, and Brees has five. It's amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of yards and a lot of points.
At 6 feet.
And you know what people say?
He's 6 feet tall.
That's right. He can't see. He's got to read through the lanes between the linemen, and it's uncanny what he's done. And people say, well, you know, they've had 7-9, 8-8 seasons, and he didn't go to the playoffs. Do people realize how abysmally bad the defenses were? Like, historically bad defense, and but for Drew Brees, those teams are 3-13, not 7-9.
Right. And he didn't play his whole career with a bunch of great offensive players.
No, it's a revolving door. And, yeah. I mean, look at the other night, right, when it's time for him to throw the pass that becomes the record, I see number 10. I'm thinking, Brandon Cooks has been gone for 3 years. Who the hell is this guy?
It's a good point. Yeah. Really good point. All right, Mike, appreciate it, man. We'll talk, and maybe we talk next week. We're that much closer to a trade, or maybe it doesn't feel like it's happening, but we'll figure it out.
Oh, hey, you know what? It's the clock ticks. I think it's going to get more and more interesting.
Yeah.
I agree with you there.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Mike.
There he is. Florio.
Mike made me feel better.
Yeah.
I think it has a good chance of happening.
Dude, was it 2 weeks ago where he poured water on it and said, yeah, nah, they can't get it done, they don't have enough cap space?
Then the whole cap space thing comes out.
But now that it just, like, it makes too much sense for it at least to not be seriously explored by both sides.
And listen, the Eagles, I'm pretty sure they don't want to just throw a second-round pick out there. You think if they can wait to get Le'Veon,
why would they?
A fourth-round pick? I mean, they're going to try to wait to get him for a fourth-round pick.
Why would they? They don't have to do it right now.
No.
Howie's not just going to say, yeah, well, here's my best second-round pick next year.
Because he probably knows he's not bringing him back. So you...
And he also knows that there's not a lot of action on him across the league.
Sure, sure.
So there's not a lot of mouths.
The whole Shady thing was brilliant. When Mike said that hit me right between the eyes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, of course they put the Shady stuff out there.
Of course they did.
Of course they did.
I'm telling you, this is CIA Howie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, with no intentions of bringing Shady here, but...
Not one.
You need the Eagles' name to be out there mentioned with interest in Shady. So the Pittsburgh says, well, our only potential suitor is now looking at someone else.
We don't need him. We can get this guy for much less.
Right.
And he will be just fine with him.
Woo.
Howie's next level.
They know what,
like,
they're doing. And I'm telling you, I never worry about the cap. He knows real numbers. He knows how it impacts the salary cap.
I let Howie worry about that. You're kicking the can down the line, but as Florio said, the cap goes up every year to where you never feel the ramifications. The Cowboys used to screw themselves because the cap wasn't going up every year like it is now, to where they'd be $20 million over and they would have to cut a bunch of guys because they didn't handle it well.
Didn't have a good capologist.
Mm-hmm.
It started with Joe.
Joe was the first.
Yeah, and Howie is his apprentice.
You're damn right he is. But now he's Howie. He's got a Super Bowl. Joe can go get his shine box for Howie, man.
Oh, come on, man.
Ben's in here sharing previous polls. This is from August of this year. Is 5 Super Bowls like the Patriots and 49ers a realistic goal for the Eagles? Yes, I can see it. 57%.
Mm-hmm.
Today, will the Eagles become a dynasty like the Patriots, or are they closer to the Saints/Packers? 80% say Saints and Packers.
Wow.
Total Super Bowls. This is from August 16th. I guess the same day in August. Says, how many total Super Bowls would the Eagles win with Wentz and Foles? 52% say 3-4. 18% say 5+. So 70% said minimum 3. Right. 3 and up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was in a bad preseason, too, that everybody was saying, like, you guys are being negative. Stop talking. There's nothing wrong with this team. Stop being negative.
Right.
And whatever. So it shows you that it happens to the coach after the season's over, and it happens to the fans. Everybody believes that this new norm is we're winning it, we're winning it, we're winning it, and it's really hard to do, Ike.
Yeah, but I don't think that people that believe like myself are somehow crazy for feeling that way or believing these things.
Not at all.
So, yeah, until it's proven that they can't do it, I'm going to believe that they can do it. And I'm going to believe that they will do it. And I know how difficult it is. It's difficult. And that's why dynasties are special. If everybody could win 3 or 4 championships, you know, they wouldn't mean that much.
Right.
So that's in any sport where you rarely get teams winning multiple titles. You know, 3 out of 4, 4 out of 6, anything of that nature, 5 out of 8. That's difficult to do. You truly have to have some great players assembled to be able to do that, and there's no sport where it's harder to do it in. Maybe baseball. I guess you could make the argument baseball has proved nobody since the Yankees. Nobody's come close to doing what the Yankees did.
You're right.
Right?
To your point, Phillies won a World Series, went back to another.
Right.
They're not in the same category
right.
as the Yankees and some, even the Red Sox. Red Sox won two championships over the course of that generation mm-hmm. right there.
San Francisco won three out
San Francisco.
Of five.
Yeah,
or three out of four.
The Phillies just simply are, they're a champion. You're a champion, and that's great. And you're a champion. That's all that needs
right.
to be said. But there's a big difference between winning one
yeah.
and being there year after year and winning multiple championships.
Yeah, for a city that loves sports the way that this town does, and it's really in our, it's in our blood, it's in our veins, man. It's going through our bodies. Like winning once is nice, but that's not good enough, and that's
right.
never gonna satisfy the sports appetite in this town. So, you know, I look at this team, and I know the Rams look great right now, and it's week five, and the Saints look pretty good right now. I don't know if the Saints – do the Saints have a quality win on their record? I mean, they beat the Redskins. They
the
beat
Browns.
The Browns, and they beat
– Atlanta.
And they beat the Atlanta Falcons.
Who's not good?
Right. And they went to overtime and had to come back to do that. So I'm not telling you, watching the Saints, they don't have a potent offense. We know Drew Brees is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
My only point is that – I mean, they don't necessarily have an impressive win on their resume, and they certainly don't have one on the road.
No, you look at the Saints and you say, yeah, I don't like the matchup against the Rams. The Rams are in a class of their own right now,
mm-hmm.
and again, it's only after 5 weeks.
Yeah,
but
I would say that I would agree with that. Yeah,
but right now I would say the Saints and the Eagles are looking better than the Eagles right now, but it's not that much of a difference.
The problem when you look at those teams is that we look at both sides of the Eagles football and we say, A, how the hell are we going to stop those teams from scoring
right.
with those offenses? And B, if you can't stop them, we don't have the ability to win a shootout with the way the offense hasn't even scored more than 23 points.
Well, that's where you're right.
So, to me, if the offense, once the offense gets clicking, which is another reason why I want the running back, once the offense gets clicking, we're going to feel better. Because the misconception is, our perception is that we won because of our defense last year. No, we secured home field advantage because of the defense and made it to the Super Bowl through the postseason because of the defense.
Mm-hmm.
We won in the regular season because of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we won. We scored early in games. We scored the opening drives of games. Our defense got to play one way. They got to play basically a one-dimensional offensive team most games
mm-hmm. yeah.
last year.
Yeah.
We had a great defensive front. Yes, I give you that. But the coverage issues were there last year also.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. This is the same team.
Yeah, we just aren't scoring the way we should be scoring.
And remember,
and it's the damn red zone.
They had a soft schedule in the middle of the year.
Yep.
Remember?
Yep.
Soft schedule where it looked easy because it was
yeah.
easy.
Yep.
Bad teams coming in here.
Yep.
All right, one thing, then we'll go to the phones. On Twitter, Kyle Cipher says, I want the Eagles to be the Pats, but people are happy with one for whatever reason and not even ticked off about this season. So I guess most are happy to be like the Packers and the Saints.
Nah.
Most people happy to be the Packers. If that was the case, you wouldn't care if they win a Super Bowl from here on out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anybody's going to be happy with that.
Nah.
Are people ticked off about this season? 888-729-9494. Yeah, I'm getting there.
I think people are irritated. At this point,
I'm irritated.
Lose tomorrow and it goes up a couple of notches.
The gloves are off after
yeah,
tomorrow.
Lose tomorrow and it goes up a couple of notches.
Let's go to the phones. Bob in Newark, Delaware. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
What
Hi.
Up, Bob?
Okay, the Eagles have two problems. One, they cannot protect the quarterback.
Yep.
Two, they can't run. Their defense was exposed by New England last year, so let's forget about the defense. So, instead of going out and getting a running back, which is going to cost you a first or second round draft pick, why don't you take the seventh round pick you had last year's draft, put him in the backfield to help protect the quarterback and lead block, or even as a rugby player, he knows how to take care of the ball, give him the ball.
First call of the day is Jordan Mailata is the
awesome.
the savior on offense.
Awesome.
What do you think of that?
Nah, that's a no for me, Bob.
Explain.
Well, Bob, I would say this. He's an offensive tackle.
I would say this. He weighs, 350 pounds, 40 pounds?
Right. Try to stop that near the goal line.
Okay. I mean,
yeah, I like that. I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, but I can't make him my lead back.
No, not your lead back. You're like a fullback or just as a blocker to protect Carson.
Yeah, that's all right. But Bob, here's the thing. You can't fix your offense by putting Jordan Mailata back there. This is the bigger picture, right?
Yeah, he hasn't even played football. Like, they're worried about putting him in tackle because he's still learning the game of football. I can't imagine putting him in a formation somewhere. And would he have to motion? Would he have to, he's got to read where he's going with the block? I don't know what you would do with him. I just don't. I don't know if he's practiced it enough. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's a couple packages where they could send him in there and he would do something. Now, but you're not putting him back there on a regular basis.
If you had guys injured, that's different. Then I think he would be active.
Right.
Because then they could use him in an emergency.
But you're not going to make him active to
just
run a handful of plays.
Yeah.
If he was the backup and he was on the active roster for the games, you're right.
Right.
I think Doug would try to use him.
Then you could use him.
Even if it was as a diversion.
Sure. But they're not going to activate him when they can't play him as a lineman.
It took us 5 weeks to go from 70% thinking or expecting 3+ Super Bowls to 19% thinking that now.
Yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah.
I felt a lot better in the middle of August, even with the preseason not going well.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kevin in North Philly. Hi, Kev.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
My man.
What's up, Kev?
How are you?
What's going on? I'm a little disappointed to say the least in the team, but I have optimism. I'm gonna write them off for this year. I'm gonna say we're done. Yeah, I'm writing this off this year.
It's not over with Kev. Kev is not over with.
It's not going to get fixed. But next year, listen to me. Next year, they'll be better equipped with putting the coaches in place. Like the difference between letting Greg Lewis go and bringing in what was our wide receivers coach last year. You've seen the big difference.
Mike Groh.
You've seen the difference in Aguilar almost like instantly. I mean, there's so many different components with a football team and a football organization. We lost a lot of great guys, so we're feeling it. We're feeling it because the guys, they just don't seem like they know what they're doing offensively, and it's showing. Like, Carson Wentz isn't even, like, doing checkoffs and stuff like that anymore. He's just, like, running plays. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what do you guys think? I think offensively they're just not confident in what they're doing this year.
Yeah, I think they're not locked in either. I mean, you got to clean up all these pre-snap penalties. You got to clean that stuff up first.
Mm-hmm.
Start with that first, right? Start with that. And then let's try making the easy plays. We're not asking you to make a bunch of spectacular plays every game in order to give yourself a chance to win. Just make the easy play. Make the play that's designed there to be made. You know, block the guys the way they're supposed to be blocked. And, you know, Carson throws the ball to you, catch the football.
Yep.
I think back to some of these games. And, again, forget about the Tampa game. I think they lost the Tampa game. I think Tampa won that game. They weren't
they
the better team.
They took it to them early. Yeah,
they weren't the better team, in my opinion, in that game. But I think about the Tennessee game. You know, I'm not comparing them to last year. I'm just looking back at why they were successful last year and what's the difference this year. And these are some of the things I look at. Those pre-snap penalties, getting off the slow starts because of pre-snap penalties. And then I look at the players. Nelson's not the same player this year as he was last year.
Not even close.
Not even close to that player. So what made that team dynamic and what made that offense so difficult to stop is that all those guys typically made the play when it came to them, especially Nelson, who was difficult to guard in the slot, which allowed Zach Ertz to do what he did in the red zone. Zach is catching the same amount of balls, except he's not catching anything in the red zone,
right,
in the end zone. Right? We just got Alshon back, so I'm going to give him more time to get acclimated. But I look at the offense. Obviously, the running game is not the same, but Nelson's not making plays in the passing game. You mean to tell me if Nelson catches those balls in the Tennessee game, they don't win that game?
Yeah, they do.
The first play of the game was a 40, 50-yard bomb down the field he should have caught.
On third down.
You know, the third down play he should have had. Like, you got to make those plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that can take it maybe on the drive on that early in the game, that becomes 3 points. Maybe
yes.
It becomes the touchdowns. They can't get momentum on drives because of penalties and because of drops and stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
They need momentum.
The defense is the same. To me, it's just not bailing you out like it did last year. And like we already said, some of what the defense did is they feasted on bad quarterbacks, bad offenses.
And they became very one-dimensional because the Eagles were up.
Because we were killing them offensively last year.
And they're already good against the run, so now Jim Schwartz can design a defense that says, well, we know you're not going to run on us anyway because we're up too many points, so
right.
Try to pass against us. So check this out. Doug Peterson says that, so the question was asked to him today, where's the RPO, run-pass option? Mm-hmm. Well, they're not passing out of it a lot because teams have obviously adjusted to the pass. Remember, when did Nick Foles get going? The RPO, mm-hmm. But he did throw in the football, mm-hmm. Right? Like, they were really, really able to successfully pass the ball out of the RPO. What the league has done, and Doug said this today, you spend all offseason,
yeah.
You know who you're playing, so what are you going to do? You're going to come in, and how do you stop this? They're playing the pass.
Every defensive coordinator worked on stopping RPOs this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
No different than what they did when the read option was a new fad, and it caught defensive coordinators off guard. And it worked 1 year, and the next year,
Wildcat.
The next year they started blowing up quarterbacks. Okay, you want to run a read option?
We'll
just hit him regardless. Yeah, so they stopped doing that.
Yeah.
They stopped doing that. That's not as effective as it used to be. And the RPO is another one of those college sort of schematic plays where when the league isn't used to seeing it, it works for a while. You give these coordinators a full offseason to find ways to defend it, it won't be as effective. It'll still be effective from time.
Sure.
But it won't be as effective.
And I don't think you see it as much, Doug doing it as much
right.
as you have seen in the past. I know today he said he's still using it just as much, but at least I don't see it as much.
Well, and then part of it is Carson, what he does with it.
Right.
You know, sometimes he pulls that thing out and he can't go to his first read.
Yep.
You know, the first play to Alshon Jeffrey was an RPO.
Mm-hmm.
And Xavier Rhodes jammed him up at the line of scrimmage.
No, you're right. They've adjusted. They said, we know if they're going to do it, most likely he's going to pull it and throw it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a short pass. It's probably a crossing pattern. And we're going to jump the route. We're going to get in front of it. We're going to have guys playing in the middle.
And because Alshon's really not a quick guy,
no.
It's hard for him to, you know, sometimes you play him against a corner like Xavier Rhodes.
You almost
want to
throw up behind him.
Yeah. He's just not quick enough to beat Xavier Rhodes up.
Let's go to Harsha, University City. Harsha?
Harsha.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
What's up, brother?
So I think I owe you both an apology because I came on a couple weeks ago and I said stop with the Le'Veon Bell nonsense.
I remember.
Yeah, so no, I got to eat humble pie and I'm going to do that. I am for trading Le'Veon Bell, but for the right price. I think I was listening to you guys yesterday. I couldn't get in, but I wanted to mention two other guys that I think should be on the trade target list for a running back. Le'Veon Bell, obviously, for the right price, and then Tevin Coleman and Mark Ingram.
Yeah, they're not going to trade Mark Ingram. They need him down there.
Yeah,
he's good.
The Saints are trying to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Tevin Coleman could be had. If they continue to lose games, he's going to be a free agent. I don't know if Coleman, they plan on re-signing him in the offseason. Freeman already makes a lot of money.
I don't know if Coleman is a guy. Well, Coleman could, but he wouldn't have to be the feature back here. He would share carries with Corey Clement.
Yeah, I kind of want a feature
but even
back.
Even when he's been the feature back, he's been good.
Like
the past two games when Freeman's been out, the guy's put up over 100 yards on the ground.
No. He's on two fantasy teams. I disagree, he does well.
If he said Freeman was out, what did he put up as a lead running back?
Here's what he does. He doesn't run the ball a whole heck of a lot.
He total yardage.
Yeah.
Because he catches the ball out of the backfield.
He's good out of the backfield.
Yeah.
He's good out of the backfield. He's a good player.
I like him. Yeah. I think he's a good player. Yeah.
He's a good player. I take him here, Harsha.
Yeah, and then I think my other point is, you know, besides trading for running backs, have they looked at trading for offensive line help?
Yeah, but at what position?
I don't think they're looking for offensive line help. I mean, they have guys here that they like that's been in their system. That they have young guys that they're trying to develop. So I don't think what offensive lineman are you going out there to trade for? Who's giving up a starting what guard?
Well, really, the only left guard would be the one position yeah, exactly. You say struggled, and yeah. they're not making a trade to go out and get a guy that's going to be better than Wiz.
It's going to cost you more money.
Or say Malu. No.
They're not going to do it for a guard. They'd rather have the guys that they have here.
Well, yep. Yeah, I would too.
I mean, you know.
And I'd rather have them blocking for Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Mike Fleury at 335, the latest on that. Fleury a couple weeks ago. Almost,
or Shady.
I heard Angelo this morning. I don't want Shady. I don't want to have to listen to him carry on week after week. Please.
Yeah, that's true.
888-729-9494. Could Angelo single-handedly prevent that trade? Howie would just be like, you know what? I can't deal with that. Right. I'm out.
You know what? I won't say that he can't.
I agree.
Johnny Marks and Ike Reese. Sports Radio 94. WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.